Good evening. We're glad to see you all here this evening to celebrate with us. And I'm going to light some candles here and just give you a brief explanation. We've done this over the last 4 weeks. And the first candle, if I can get this, there we go. The first candle we did was the candle of promise from Isaiah 64. There was the promise, or the people of Israel were looking for a Savior. Isaiah 9 was talking the promise that there would be one coming. Second week, we talked about the candle of, anybody help me here? The candle of light. Candle of light. John 1, he is the light of the world. And you can pick out of all your favorite scriptures that talk about Jesus being the light, because there's a lot of them in God's word. And we talked about the candle of love. He is love. John 3:16, for God so loved that he gave. And then this past Sunday, we talked about hope and all the hope that we have in Christ, the different types of hope. And that we have a hope of a Savior, and we have a hope that he's going to come back for us again someday. And then tonight, we're going to light the middle one. To signal the arrival of the baby Jesus. We talked about Advent, and Advent, the word simply means coming. And we spent the last 4 weeks kind of focusing on the first coming of Jesus. Tonight we're going to look at all three of the comings of Christ in God's word. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, I got goosebumps on my arm. Just good to be here tonight to celebrate Jesus Christ, to exalt his name and to lift his name above all other names, to praise him, to worship him, and to thank him for what he did for us. Just look forward to this evening. Been looking forward to this evening for a while. We thank you for the folks that are here tonight. We have some visitors. We have family from out of town. And it's just good to be together to exalt your name, Father. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand with me if you would.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. Let all their songs implore, our fields and love, our fields and repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. Joy, unspeakable joy, in overwhelming well, no tongue can tell. Joy, unspeakable joy, it rises in my soul, never lets me go. Lord, let sin and sorrows grow, Lord, thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, as the curse is bound. As the curse is bound, far as the curse is bound. Joy, unspeakable joy, overwhelming well, no tongue can tell. Joy, unspeakable joy, it rises in my soul, never lets me go. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders.
You may be seated, and tonight we welcome some of the Lakefield folks, and appreciate their fellowship, and welcome Valerie to come and share some music with us.
I'm
I've been talking to our church about losing the straitjackets. And that even though we're Baptists, it's okay to say amen. And I've even on occasion used the Southern Baptist preacher's terminology. I haven't quite jumped up on the front row pew yet, but can I get an amen up in here?
Amen.
Thank you. And that's for that song. Beautiful song. The reason we're here, to celebrate the birth of Jesus. The first advent, or the first coming. In Isaiah 64, the Jewish people were crying out and said, "Oh, that thou would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence." They were looking for an earthly king. They were looking for an earthly warrior to throw off the reign of the Babylonians, the Assyrians, and eventually the Romans. They were looking for that king to come through the gate on the white stallion. They weren't expecting him to come as the Prince of Peace and to ride into Jerusalem on a donkey. They wanted to see the Lion of Judah. They wanted to see the human and earthly government thrown off.
Sorry.
No, that's fine. It's a good problem. We're okay. Now we're going to have 24 chairs for 6 people. It's all right. Tony, I think you can probably grab one of those there. Yeah. I think that's... Thank you. So as they were looking for this earthly king to champion their cause and free them from the reign, a promise is given. It says, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, My God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of the peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this." Isaiah 55 talks about God's word not only will accomplish what it sets out to do, but it will not come back to him until it does accomplish it. And here it says, his will be done. It will be accomplished. And in Luke chapter 2, we see the fulfillment of that, the promise that was made back in Isaiah. God says it. It's going to happen, folks. "And it came about that while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." God promised it, and he brought it to bear. He said, it's going to happen, and it happened. Prophecy fulfilled. That's the first advent.
The stars are brightly shining. It
Evermore throne. This is a poem written by Marty Walsh, that beautiful Christmas tree. What can I learn about Jesus as I look at that beautiful tree? Let's open the pages of God's holy book and we will begin to see. Wood is a type of his humanity. In a manger he was born. On a cross of wood he gave his life, then arose from the grave in early morn. An angel was present to announce his birth in a stable filled with hay. A star led the wise men to Bethlehem, where a beautiful baby lay. Silver speaks of redemption, a plan where he paid the debt, and having completed his mission, he returned to heaven from Mount Olivet. The tinsel represents an icicle, like the world, so indifferent and cold. God's love and warmth, God's love and warmth through a Christian can bring them into the fold. A color of purple is very pretty. It suggests royalty as David's son. Gold refers to his deity. It is stated clearly in John 1:1. Blue signified Christ's heavenly origin. He came to earth from above. And red indicates his sacrificial blood. The Spirit came later in the form of a dove. White is a symbol of holiness. Isaiah 1:18 makes clear. Green is a symbol of growth, very evident when Jesus is near. Yes, the lights remind me of the church scattered throughout the world, colorful Christians spreading good news, peace, and joy will be unfurled. Each gift should turn our thoughts to Christ. God's love gift was heaven's best, and just through faith in his dear Son, we will enjoy that eternal rest.
Stand with me and sing, O Little Town of Bethlehem, please.
We hear the Christmas angels, the Christmas
bring glad tidings now. O come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. Emmanuel, Emmanuel, his name is God, Emmanuel, God with us, revealed in us, his name is God.
Thank you. You may be seated. God with us, Emmanuel. The first Advent was him coming as a baby. Second Advent is just as important as the first. It's him coming into our hearts, to be made the king of our hearts, to be our Savior, to save us from our sin. Romans 3:23 says that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means all. Every one of us. So when he came for every one of us. John 3:16, we mentioned earlier. Quote it with me if you would. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's a Sunday school verse that everybody's memorized, and we, you know, see how, you know, as a kid, hopefully not so much as adults, we used to see how fast we could say it and race through it. The message is not to be raced through. God loves us so much because of our sin. He doesn't love us because of our sin. Let me rephrase that. Because of our sin, we need a Savior. And he loves us so much that he sent his Son to be that Savior, to make a way of salvation for us, that we might spend eternity with him. John 14:6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is only one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. There's many ways and means and thoughts and they go about our world today. Guess what? They're wrong. There is only one way. And it's through Jesus Christ. In Philippians 2, 5 through 8, talks about how Christ became obedient to the Father. He humbled himself, took on the form of human beings. He inserted himself into our world, became obedient to his Father. It was no easy thing. You don't sweat drops of blood over something that isn't pretty heavy. And he humbled himself, became obedient to the Father for you and for me, that we might have a way of salvation. If you haven't taken care of the second Advent, you better look out for the third, and that'll be coming in a couple minutes. Thank you. Third Advent. He's coming back. He's coming back for us, those that are believers, those that have the hope of Jesus Christ and know Him as our Savior. He's coming back. That Philippians chapter 2 section where we were talking just a minute ago about how He became obedient unto death continues on in verse 9. It says, therefore also God highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It doesn't just talk saying that Christians are going to bow their knees and their tongue is going to confess. Everyone will. Some will be doing it out of praise and adoration to the King of Kings and what child this is that came for us. Others, I believe, will be doing it out of fear and trembling because they'll actually realize who He is. I trust that each one of you have realized here and now who He is and what He can mean to you and what He needs to mean to you as the Savior of your life. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, that they may not grieve as do the rest of those that have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with Him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with Him, always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Luke 12:40. You too, be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. After the rapture and the tribulation, He's going to come back to earth and set up His millennial kingdom. Which side are you going to be on? James talks about either you're a friend of God or you're a friend of the world. You can't be both. You can't have one foot on the God side of the fence and one foot in the world side of the fence. When He comes back to establish His kingdom, where are you going to be at with Him? What's your relationship with Him? Are you praising and exalting Him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Or when every knee bow and every tongue confesses, will you be the one doing it out of fear and trembling? Shaken to your boots because the realization, although it would be too late, has come that He is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And that's who we celebrate tonight. And again, like I mentioned, hopefully, well, you need to, if you haven't taken care of the second advent of having Christ come into your heart, come into your life, and be your Lord and Savior, then you better be worried about the third one. It ought to be of great concern to you. Now, come on, Pastor, you're preaching kind of hard tonight. This is Christmas Eve, and we're supposed to be talking about this little baby in a manger. But He came as a baby in a manger to save your soul. For each one of us, for every one of us, we need to come to Him. This Luke 12:40 there says, you too, be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. If anybody tells you the Lord's coming back on such or such a date, sell all your, you know, sell all your belongings, go up to the top of this hill. Don't listen to them. They're full of baloney. They don't know what they're talking about. But you can be assured that he is coming back, that he will be returning for those that call him Lord, those that worship him as the creator of the universe. Dick, would you come down? Would you bring your candle? And we're going to go ahead and start to light our candles around the auditorium.
Before we start the candlelight service, I'd like to make a little presentation. This is just a token of our love for Pastor and Beth. You want to come forward, Beth?
No, she doesn't really want to.
But we really appreciate all the things that you do for us. It's more than just the things we see on Sunday morning, and we appreciate it, and we want to just show a little appreciation with the gift.
Appreciate that. I'm going to read some more from Luke 2 as they go along, and as you can probably catch one person at the end of the aisle and they can pass it on down. And in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you, and you will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." And it came about that when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came in haste and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. Remember, we talked earlier in Isaiah, the promise of the Savior coming from Isaiah 9, that a child would be born, and that prophecy was fulfilled. It came to fruition. Steve, could I ask you just to hit the lights there? Thank you, Dick. This was one of our candles, that he is the light of the world. We talked that week, Dan did a reading, talked about prisms that reflect and refract the light. We don't have any light in us of ourselves. We have him in us, and we are to refract and reflect Jesus to the world, to our neighbors, to those in our community. We sing the song, "This little light of mine, hiding under a bushel, no." It's kind of, you know, it really isn't our light. It's the light of Jesus Christ. But we need to let that light shine. We need to stand on the hill. We need to not be ashamed, because he says if we do not confess him before men, he will not confess us before the Father. So we have a responsibility to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Stand with me as we sing "Silent Night."
So
Can I ask you to bow your heads if you need to keep your, for safety, put safety first, if you need to keep your heads up to keep your candle. But I'm gonna close in prayer by reading some from the Psalms and then from Revelations. Be gracious to me, O God, be gracious to me, for my soul takes refuge in thee, and in the shadow of thy wings I will take refuge until destruction passes by. I will cry to God Most High, to God who accomplishes all things for me. Be exalted above the heavens, O God. Let thy glory be above all the earth. Revelation chapter 5. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to break its seals?" One of the elders said, "Stop weeping. Behold, the lion is from the tribe of Judah. The root of David has overcome, so as to open the book and its seven seals." And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy thou to take the book and to break its seals. For you were slain and didst purchase for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing.' Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth." Father, thank you. Thank you for what you did for us. Thank you for the plan that you made as a way of salvation, that the perfect Lamb was sacrificed so that we might live. Father, please, please help us not to lose sight of that, especially tonight and tomorrow. All the time is too, but Father, as we know that Christmas is celebrated by the world in such a different way than what you mean it to be. Be exalted, O God. Be exalted in our hearts, be exalted in our lives, and be exalted in the way that we celebrate you. That as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that you are on the throne, Father, that you are on high. Please help us to not lose sight of that. Thank you for this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. And you're all expected to be back here Sunday morning. It was good to hear a little fuller. Our number's been down just a little bit.